Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, and on Friday, we think about what really matters on the What It Takes Radio Network.
The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Jenios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
Is the market too focused on the opinions of just 10 people? We're talking about the Federal Reserve and much to do about nothing, apparently. It's what really matters, and we start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. This is your host, Peter McClellan. Privileged again today to be joined by Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. And if you have not been looking at Jeff's blog this week, really insightful stuff. He always has a sense of giving us the pulse of what's really going on. And Jeff, welcome back, and tell us, you've got a little bit of a mixed bag out there in terms of what the market's reaction has been to not a whole lot of news. The Fed's raised the rates a little bit, but are saying, you know, the economy's still not great. And there's, I don't know, it seems like there may be saying a few things that are significant and some things that are just kind of, I don't know, maybe not saying enough. I don't know. It's puzzling to me. So what's your take on it? You feel that perhaps the market is too focused on the news of what the Fed's doing, right?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's so interesting to just step back and watch what's going on. Because if you look at the last 2 weeks, two Fridays ago, we had Janet Yellen tell Congress that she thought the economy was heating up, that, you know, the Fed was watching closely for that causing unexpected inflation, and the 10-year bond really started taking a hit then, as far as rates going up, because people were saying, oh no, here we go. And then last Friday you had a blowout jobs number, the first one under President Trump, and it made people say, wow, you know, this economy is doing well. And yet then the market sold off because they said, oh, this means the Federal Reserve is going to possibly aggressively raise rates. And so that was the fear going into Wednesday when the Fed concluded their interest rate policy meeting that they do every month. And they raised rates as expected, so 0.25%. And now we're looking at a place where, you know, going into that, okay, it happened. Then Chair Yellen holds a press conference and says that the data is not picking up very significantly. And then the market just took off like a rocket. And right. So it's that thing you and I have talked about over the years of very frustrating when, you know, you think of logic, you would want to buy stocks when the economy is doing well and sell them when it's not. Right. And yet here the market had one of its best rallies in months just because the Fed chair said the economy is not doing as great as everybody thought.
Yeah.
Even though 2 weeks ago she said it was heating up.
Yeah, I know. It's they're sending sort of mixed signals, and I wonder if it isn't intentional. So tell us, if people are kind of maybe obsessing on the Fed, what are the things you'd say would be the bigger issues? And again, if you've not gone to semtradersblog.com, check it out, and you could answer the question for us. But Jeff, why don't you go ahead? What are some of the things that you're saying this week about what really matters regarding the other issues?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. You know, number one is people over the last now 9 years, really. I mean, even go back into the mid 2000s, and we didn't have much action from Congress. There's two types of ways that the economy can be stimulated. One is from monetary policy, which is the Federal Reserve. The other is fiscal policy, which that's government policy that comes from Congress and the White House. And that could be, you know, taking regulations away, you know, cutting taxes, government spending. That's fiscal stimulus. And going back to Ben Bernanke, he was telling Congress that they need to do something to help out on the fiscal side, because monetary policy is not designed to do that. Yet here we are, everybody's focused going into the week on whether or not they're going to raise by 0.25%. And yet we take a step back, and the real issue inside Friday's job report last week was the labor force participation rate is still sitting at 1970s levels. That means there's fewer people participating, you know, than we've had basically in a generation. That's a drag on the economy. There is not a single thing the Federal Reserve can do to help that. I mean, they've been trying. They've had interest rates at zero. They've done quantitative easing 1, 2, and 3. They've done everything possible, and monetary policy has not helped it. In fact, it's continued to just, you know, stagnate. That has to come from the fiscal side. And then we heard Chair Yellen a couple weeks back talking about possibly having to dampen growth. So you could actually have the Federal Reserve working against the bigger issue, which is we need a lot more people working, and those jobs have to be significantly higher paying than what we have right now.
Yeah. And I don't know, but I mean, do you think it's something the government could actually do?
Well, it's been done before. I mean, you know, I don't want to be cynical, but, you know, just because in my lifetime, you know, I was still in grade school the last time government got anything done back in the Reagan years, mm-hmm. You know, where both sides, you know, Democrats and Republicans worked together on the bigger issues.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't even get the Republicans to agree on the Affordable Care Act, tax cuts, spending. I mean, I don't know. I think they can if they all decide to work together and focus on these bigger issues. But from a market perspective, the fact that we're still focused on, you know, what these 10 people at the Federal Reserve may or may not do, and that causes 1% gains and losses in the market in a single day,
that's
just telling us something deeper down is wrong.
Yeah, no, I would have to agree with you. It's kind of weird, but I do think the bigger issues at hand are that. Well, I would say, first of all, let's face it, the healthcare situation is a mess. The exorbitant pricing. No, nobody's saying out there that the healthcare pricing is cheap. That there's maybe a couple of people are, but I don't think so. I honestly believe that this is dampening what would be, I think, perhaps a better economy, because so many people, so many companies are having to expend so much money on.
I guess
on healthcare.
Maybe if it's a doctor married to a pharmaceutical salesperson, then they don't think it's expensive.
Exactly. They can get real good discounts on the stuff. They get freebies to try out. And I don't know. It's, you know, that's a crazy thing. But I agree with you about the infighting in the Republicans. And it's unfortunate, because I think they have here a chance to, I don't see what's wrong with taking some of the ideas from, you know, the Obamacare thing. Like, for example, the idea of these, you know, exchanges, which I thought were going to be across state lines, and it happened to be that it's only within states, and that we've seen, you know, a reduction of what, like a third of the health insurance companies have left the business. So that obviously didn't work. I would think free competition would probably thin the herd some more, but would drive pricing down. I think there's a lot of regulation that could go away yet, and I'm just convinced that it's, you know, it has to be overturned. But I think if somebody brings up a point that was maybe pointed in the right direction regarding Obamacare, it has to be destroyed because it's Obamacare. I think that's kind of narrow thinking. I don't like Obamacare. I never read the whole thing. I'm not an analyst that way. But
neither did Congress.
No, I know. Yeah, just pass it so we can see what's in it. I know, that was like, oh my gosh, but. No, this needs to be done well, or the Republicans, it's gonna blow back on them, because they campaigned on this. This was the bread and butter, and I just think if they really mess this thing up, and it does look to be in trouble at this point, meaning that they can't agree on the color of, you know what. So it's kind of disturbing, because I thought there'd be more of a, I don't know, I was probably sipping the Kool-Aid of some sort, but I thought it would be easier to do because there's such a backlash against Obamacare. But if the Republicans aren't careful, they might create a similar situation. We don't need to get political, but I would have to say, if that could get resolved.
After you were political the last 5 years.
Oh, I know, but I'm not, and again, we might irritate Republicans, you know, because I that's not my intent either.
Yeah,
I don't,
true.
I'm not sticking up for Obama. I'm just saying, let's just get together and get something done that works for the American people, and not be so, I don't know. It's too partisan. You mentioned any aspect. I thought that was pretty short-sighted, that if, you know, because I think, for example, if they would open it up, really open up those exchanges so you could buy the coverage across the country, buy your insurance from wherever, I think competition would drive pricing down. It stands to reason that it would. So anyway, that's just my take on it. I'm frustrated by it.
Yeah. Well, as we've seen, and like I said, in our lifetime, it's been rare that, you know, common sense has prevailed in Washington.
No,
and it's polarized. And, you know, but going back, you know, kind of to the theme of this week and what we started with last week with our listeners is the emotions behind it. And politics obviously cause a lot of emotions.
Oh, yeah.
And then cause people to make some really poor decisions at times because they are using emotions. But you could really see the emotions playing out this week. You know, the fact that so many people, I mean, friends of mine who have 401k investments and things like that were asking me what I thought the Fed was going to do. And I said, it doesn't really matter. You're in a long-term investment. You can't even touch this for 20 or 30 years. Who cares?
Right.
It's 0.25%.
Right.
You know, and I said two things this week in the blog. First off, if the economy and then the stock market cannot handle 0.25% rate mm-hmm. increase, I want to run. I want nothing to do with that economy or that market. I'd rather just sit in cash. My opinion, and it's backed by the data that we use here at SEM, is, you know, that right now the 0.25% doesn't matter. The economy is picking up steam. I don't know what Chair Yellen is looking at, but the sentiment readings are just incredible. We saw the job numbers. There's something beneath the surface that's boiling up, and that's a good thing if you're an investor for the time being, unless the Fed gets too aggressive with their rate cuts. But, you know, that's a whole other topic. But the other thing I said was, if you as an investor are worried about the 0.25% increase, maybe you've studied history, and it's going to be in our chart of the week on Friday, if I get around to posting it. But I have a chart that shows every single time the Federal Reserve has pushed us into a recession by raising interest rates too much.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have a lot of space on the, you know, between where interest short-term rates are at and where long-term rates are at before I would say, uh-oh, we're going into a recession. So as an investor, if you're trying to time that, you're not going to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible to do. And that tells me if you're sitting there trying to get out and miss the next bear market that the Fed causes, you're probably overexposed. And now you're starting to get emotional because when you are taking on too much risk, you aren't thinking, well, you know you're wrong and you're trying to just, you know, kind of, you know, thread the needle there where you try to, you know, get as much money as you can make and then avoid any losses. And that's really hard to do. And especially if you're relying on these 10 people on the Federal Reserve Board.
Mm. Well, tell me, and not to diverge, but so one of the things in your bigger issues theme this week, you quoted some of your favorite from one of your favorites, Art Cashin. And then what should be happening with small caps if we're truly at a place where the economy is accelerating? What's happening to small caps? This is kind of puzzling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both small caps and high yield bonds should be doing really well based on the economic data. And small caps, you know, before the rally on Wednesday, they gave back almost all of their gains for the year just in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the logic is simple. If the economy is doing well, the smaller companies will do even better because they have a lot more room for growth. There's more marginal return there.
Right.
And high yield bonds the same way. They're the riskiest companies out there. So if the economy is doing well, then it's easier for them to pay off their debt. So those prices should rally as well. And we saw a pretty big sell-off in both the last 2 weeks. So that tells me, you know, something's going on. And then, of course, on Wednesday, you know, both had one of the best rallies they've had in about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very volatile. But what Art was getting at was if everything was truly healthy and we were in a strong trending bull market,
right,
you would see small caps leading the charge, not lagging.
Well, they were. They were, but until just a few weeks ago, they were leading, right? They were the hot item of the market. The trending. They were positively trending.
Exactly. And that's what Art was saying was, you know, when they tend to stop leading, then you start to run into problems. And what happened was the, you know, people, the big institutional investors tend to want to only, if they're worried about the market, they tend to get out of things that are illiquid, and small caps are harder to sell, so they can be a little more illiquid, as are high yield bonds. And they get into things that are easy to sell, like, you know, S&P 500 futures contracts, right, or even S&P 500 index funds. And so that's what Art was getting at. And he's been around, 50, 60 years, I believe, is how long he's been working on Wall Street. And he's the reason I pay attention to him is he was one of the few people, Rick Gage, our founder, back in the 90s, would actually unmute CNBC to listen to. And from my perspective, 18 years of working at SEM and 25 years of following the markets, it's very rare to have somebody who's consistently just told it like it is, whether it ticks people off or not. And he's one that, you know, if he sees risk in the market, he'll call it. And that's why he's still working in the industry, is he's been right for so long.
And so you're equally then is scratching your head about the issue of the small caps, meaning that if we were truly accelerating, it wouldn't just be a one day thing like happened on Wednesday. It would be, they wouldn't have been selling off in recent weeks. That's a troubling sign. It's not necessarily, you're not saying, you're predicting it's a topping sign, it's the market's about to crash. You're saying, but it's not a good sign is what you're getting at. It's something's amiss.
It's something to watch out for.
Yeah.
And that's what we do at SEM.
Yeah, it is.
We're paid to do that and figure those things out. And we've taken a little bit off the table, but not a lot to say, look out, the market's going to crash.
Right.
But like Art said, it is something that we should watch for.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll continue to do that. And for those of you who have never explored the potential value of active money management, I for one, years ago, thought it was voodoo. It's not. It's actually quite the opposite. What Jeff's talking about is where they take chips off the table. It's a lot of things that are preordained in strategies. This isn't licking the finger and putting it up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. It's more about strategies that have been developed scientifically to make sure that they're aiming to protect capital, so you don't have the aim is to not have too big a loss. And I like that. I think it's fitting, especially if we're at an all-time high in the market, somewhere near an all-time high, and we're still not that terribly far from all-time lows in interest rates, though they have come up, as Jeff was saying before, quite a bit. But, the trend, the major trend would probably be up, which would not necessarily be good for bonds, and maybe who knows what it will do with stocks. But at any rate, you want to have peace of mind. You want to be able to, I can't say peace of mind, you want to have maybe less exposure to too much volatility. And I like what Jeff's saying, that if you're amped up over a quarter point, or what the Fed's doing on that amount, and this is rocking your world, chances are you probably are overdoing it in the stocks, trying to juice out as much gain as you can, and unwisely thinking you'll be able to sidestep when the next big decline does occur. So if you haven't explored the merits of active management, go to semtradersblog.com. Jeff talks quite a bit about what's really going on. And they'll also be as part of their website, SEM's website, or here locally in Minnesota, the 401k Latte Company. We're big proponents of people not getting overly hammered in the next bear when it does come. We don't know when it's coming, but when it does, you really don't want it to have to delay your retirement or whatever else it might do to you. So on that note, Jeff, at the 401k Latte Company, we remind people that it all starts with a conversation. So we say,
invest in a conversation.
Do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.